I'm with you on that one.
I'm going to call the Transportation House Committee meeting to order. It is about 5 minutes after 1 on March 9th, 2010. And let the record show that the following House members are present: Representative Peterson, Representative Gruenberg, Representative Johnson, Representative Munoz, and myself, Wilson. And also that my House Recording Secretary in the back is Nancy Hemingway, and Sammy is our LIO monitor in the corner back there. And of course, my House Chief, or my Chief of Staff, House Chief of Staff, Becky Rooney. And before we start the recording and talking, please turn off your cell phones, because just leaving them on vibrate kind of interferes with our microphones up here. And as you know, we've all been working on this bill and working on this bill and working on this bill because we wanted to get it just as good as we could get it. We've listened to all the concerns of the committee, of the different people that we've talked with, and we now have a new version that incorporates almost all the recommendations and changes that the committee and various parties have talked about it. And I'm hopefully planning to move this bill out today. So we do have version D before us, and will someone please move that version? Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I would move CS for House Bill number 329, Transportation, which is designated 26LS1307-D, Kane 3510, as a working document.
Okay. And so without further ado, Becky, if you would come forward and introduce yourself and go over the changes in version D.
And I'll object just because I'm objectionable today.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Becky Rooney, staff to Representative Peggy Wilson. There are three major changes to this latest version of the bill, version D. I will refer to the page numbers and line numbers as we go through it and try to point out those changes. On page 3, lines 8 and 9, this change that we made will allow the appropriation of 50% of the revenues going into the fund to be spent each year in addition to the 6% POMV. We changed this to increase the available appropriation each year to allow for bigger projects or for a greater number of projects in a given year. We also considered this change in case the fund wasn't seeded with the full $1 billion amount, we would still have a large amount of money to appropriate. You have in your packets or on your table a spreadsheet that is titled Appropriation Estimate Spreadsheet. This was compiled by DOR, so make sure you have the one with the right title because we've had a couple of versions. You should have it in the packet that I set on your table. Yeah.
Last page of the packet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, in the sixth column from the left are the projected yearly appropriations from the fund under version K. That was the last version of the bill that we heard in committee. In the last column on the right, you can see the projected appropriation with the additional revenue available. So you can compare the two year by year. It is not mandatory to appropriate all of the available funds each year. So the option to save the entire amount is always there. So you don't have to spend it, but it is there in case you wanted to. And you will notice under the title Dollars Generating Earnings at the bottom of the page, the fund in Scenario 1 has about $900 million more than the one in Scenario 2, which is the version D scenario. And that's just the trade-off for being able to complete more projects within the 20-year time frame. So the next change is on page 4, lines 13 and 14. This language allows the fund to continue to be used for the operating costs of the DMV. There was a mistake made in the percentage. It should be 3% instead of 1%, and we'll take care of that with an amendment a little later. But just so you have the correct amount there. And by using a percentage of the revenue, it will allow for inflation and small growth in the operating costs. As the fund grows, they will be able to get more money. You have a sheet made up by the DMV. I'll show you what, so that you know what it looks like. I can find mine. Oh, I think mine's back at the table. But you should have another spreadsheet looking. Yes.
The next to the last one in your packet. And, well, we have a little bit of a lull. Let the record show that Representative Johansson has joined us.
Okay. We have, I wanted to just point out that sheet's available, and we have someone online from the DMV that's going to go over that sheet and exactly what those numbers mean and how we came up with these percentages. And so she will speak to that language a little bit later. Page 4, lines 28 through 31, and page 5, lines 16 to 18. This was a major change where we have changed the advisory council. In order to dilute the direct influence of any legislator on the evaluation of projects for appropriation, we have changed the makeup of the council. We have increased the size of the council to 12 members. We have reduced the number of legislators to include only the House and Senate Transportation Committee chairs. We have retained the three deputy commissioners from DOT and also the three regional directors of DOT. And this is the newest part of it, is where we've added four public members. They will be selected from each of the four judicial districts. We have added requirements that they have extensive knowledge and experience in the transportation field. They will be appointed by the governor, and the governor shall appoint a chair of the council from these four public members. It will be up to the governor to make sure that the four members represent the various modes of transportation, including land, sea, and air. The terms of the public members are staggered four-year terms. Those are all of the changes that we have made so far. So if you have any questions.
Madam Chair. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if there's a definition of extensive experience and knowledge. I mean, would I qualify having sat on this committee for 4 years, or would it be someone above that? I mean, where's the level? I mean, what? I mean,
yeah,
read
it
a book?
Kind of what? Squishy. And
Madam Chair, I'm not big on squishy in legislation.
go ahead.
I don't know if we can address that somehow, or I don't know what would, I don't know how. Or is there a better definition? Is there?
And we could get more detailed. We picked, we were using Pennsylvania's definition of who sits on their public commission, and that's the way they described it, and so we just lifted their language. But we can work on a better definition for that.
Representative Johnson.
And maybe we don't need to work on a better definition. I mean, do you have any experience to know what kind of person qualified under the Pennsylvania model? I mean, are we talking about education teacher?
No. They were more like business on business boards. They had major transportation companies. They had done that kind of had job training that actually related to the areas.
And if you follow up with the rest of that sentence, they have to have extensive experience and knowledge in the field of transportation of people and goods. So it's not just necessarily transportation per se, but the experience. We want people with experience so that we're looking not only just at, like, for instance, just roads, or, you know, because we're looking at airplanes where we're it's actually people back and forth mainly, or ferries.
Right.
And
Madam Chair, if I might, my question
Johnson.
Is not the transportation goods of people, it's extensive experience. I don't know what that is.
I see what you're saying.
You know, I don't know. I appreciate that, and they should be transportation people, but what designates or connotates it? And if this has worked in Pennsylvania, I'm certainly not. I guess if you got two people, you just take the one with the most extensive experience, and that would be a nice scenario.
One way.
So, thank you, Madam
Chair. But that is something that we will flag.
I have a question.
Representative Munoz.
Okay, thank you. On the tax collected on vehicles, including, page two, including aircrafts, how does this bill deal with the municipal airports that expect to have a percentage of that revenue returned to those facilities?
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, it is returned to them. It allows for it.
Okay, because if I may continue, I think unless there's an exception, this is including all aircraft tax. So we may want to specify.
There is that 60%. Oh, I wish I'd asked Brian, but through the chair, Representative Munoz, we did consider that. There was the 60% of the fuel, aviation fuel tax that they will still get back. And we have worked with the drafter on that language, and I know that, unless it's dropped out of here, I don't know exactly where it is, but we had considered that, and it was our intent to leave it in, and we'll ask that question.
And part of, if I remember right, part of it was that already a certain percentage of that goes to municipalities, and we didn't want to fool with that. We wanted to make sure that they still got that.
Well, and I appreciate that, but this language is more blanket unless it's included that's continued exception. I think we're talking about all taxes on aircraft with that section, unless it's dealt with elsewhere in the bill, and that's what I'm wondering.
We'll make sure that we've checked into that. It might be covered under the less refunds. Okay. They get a refund for that fuel, that aviation fuel, on line 20.
Yes, Representative Johnson.
I think we're also only talking about the fuel tax. We're not talking about PFCs or landing fees or any of the other things that airports, other revenue sources. This is only the tax on the fuel that they sell, not the other landing fees and PFCs and stuff like that.
No.
Is that correct? I mean, I want to make sure.
That's what it says.
Oh, thank you. Under Section 5 on page 5, through the chair, Representative Munoz, it's covered.
Okay.
I just know that I had seen it.
Could you point that? Could
right.
you point that
okay,
out?
Okay, it's
line 31.
Yeah.
Line 31. Oh, I see. Okay, good.
Sorry, I didn't know where it was.
Good. Thank you.
Any other comments? Any other questions? What we'll do right now then is go to I'd like to go to public testimony, and we do have my papers on the line right here. We've got, I'm trying to think of this, is this here or is this? That's in Anchorage, okay. Aves Thompson in Anchorage with, could you give us your name and your affiliation? Can you hear us?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Go ahead and tell your affiliation and then give us your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Aves Thompson, that's A-V-E-S. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement represents a large chunk of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. The simple truth is that if you got it, a truck brought it. One of the priorities of the Alaska Trucking Association has been a state-funded capital projects program, as federal funding is very likely to decrease to a point where it will no longer meet Alaska's transportation infrastructure needs. Alaska needs to invest our dollars in our transportation system. We believe that House Bill 329 goes a long way to setting the stage for a robust state-funded capital projects program that will benefit all motorists as well as other users of other transportation modes. As the largest payer of the motor fuel tax, the trucking industry is glad to see an effort to devote these user fees to the improvement and expansion of our state highway system infrastructure. As an association, we have supported fuel tax increase proposals in the past, provided that they are dedicated to the highway system. We understand that some changes will be made to the makeup of the ATIF advisory board, which you've just described, Madam Chairman, and we're hopeful that one of the members of that board will be from the trucking industry. We're also hopeful that this system will tend to depoliticize the decision-making process. One additional concern is that there may be a tendency to look to this fund to support more and more of the state expenditures in our highway system. We are hopeful that the ATIF appropriations will provide additional funding as general fund appropriations continue to support a robust state capital projects program. Simply put, if the ATIF is not an add-on, it won't accomplish its purpose. We believe the Transportation Infrastructure Fund has the potential to supplement existing programs successfully. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Any questions? I don't see, thank you very much, and we appreciate your comments, and I don't see, Aves, I don't see any questions from the committee, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And we're going to take, I think that's probably a pretty good idea for maybe adding somebody from the Trucking Association.
Yeah.
But
can I ask Aves a question, please?
Oh, yep. We do have a question for you, Aves. Here's Representative Johnson.
Thanks, Aves, and thank you for testifying. We've had this discussion many times. Would it give you a certain amount of comfort if there was someone designated from the trucking industry, and what would that definition be if we were to, would it be broad enough, or would we need to specifically say, define what the trucking industry was? And I'm sure you have people there with enough extensive experience to qualify. So what would you be comfortable with as an amendment to include someone from the, would we call it transportation sector, trucking transportation? How would you designate that to be that you would be comfortable with?
Well, I, through the chair, Representative Johnson, I think maybe, yes, we would feel comfortable if there were someone from the trucking industry. Perhaps that definition might be from the motor carrier side of it. And I'm trying to think how that might be phrased. But it's, what I'm thinking is somebody that, that is working in a, with a major trucking outfit or a major trucking organization that has operations throughout the state, that at least throughout the highway system, because that's our, of our particular concern right now.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, and Aves, would you be comfortable with saying, if we said something like, a representative from the Alaska Truckers Association or its designee, and let you guys appoint someone, because I know it's somewhat of a fluid industry with people moving around. Would that be something? And I'm just kind of floating ideas here, as opposed to, would that be something that you would be willing to take on as an association?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, yes, sir.
Was that an enthusiastic yes, sir?
That was. I'm standing up, yes, sir.
Thank you, Aves, and we'll entertain that and try to get the language in and see what the will of the committee is, but I would certainly support that, Madam Chair. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. We also have Mike Galalt. Are you on?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Mike, go ahead.
Yes, speaking.
Okay, tell us your affiliation and give us your testimony.
Yeah, hi. I'm speaking as a private citizen. I live in District 29, this Representative Tuck's district. However, I have 32 years with the Department of Transportation, although I don't represent them in this call. I work in the highway construction industry in the administration of highway projects and have been in the capacity as a project engineer. I'm a senior project engineer now with the Central Region, and have been for some 20 years, and would like to testify to in the watching the decrease of the federal funding and the increase of state funding for projects we are doing in our region, more than likely in the other regions, the northern and southeast region. I know that if we have a good positive stream of state funds, they're definitely less restrictive as far as their use goes with regards to, for instance, the Buy American Act for steel products and several other of the federal restrictions that the FHWA puts on the states to use their funds. Of course, I already mentioned earlier that we are seeing less federal-funded projects and more state funds being used to build our work. I'd also like to advocate for a dedicated fuel tax, and I think I saw that in the bill as far as the funding stream for the dedicated fund from both automotive boat and aviation fuel tax, and that would be used to put into the fund. And the bottom line, of course, is the funds I definitely need to be used in the maintenance of our work as well as the construction of new facilities. And if provisions are there for maintenance as well as construction, I think that would make the bill better all around.
Thank you very much, Mike. Does anyone have any questions for Mike?
No, Madam Chair.
Seeing none, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. We are using the fuel tax and the vehicle registration fees after some of those taxes are used for various things now, and we're not changing that. We're leaving them in place, but all the rest then will be going into this fund. So thanks, Mike.
It's a good idea, and I hope you get the support. And is Representative Grunberg in attendance?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Just a shout out from a fellow Don there, a C-A-L-A-N-E-S.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't call it my office. We went to the same high school.
Oh. Yeah. Won't take up any more of your time on that one. Just hi, Max.
And I'm glad to clarify that. I thought maybe he was with the mafia or something. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out what the
was. All right. Best of luck to you on getting this through and signed by the governor.
Okay. Thank you very much. Colleen Sobere.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Colleen, can you give us your testimony and state your affiliation?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Colleen Sobere. I am in District 26M, but I also represent CH Twom Hill, here based in Anchorage with about 2,500 employees across the state. I'm testifying to request support of House Bill 329. This bill, as you know, allows for a new funding mechanism for statewide multimodal transportation needs. I believe this bill will augment transportation funding needs while allowing the state better control of projects. Federal funds are needed, but also come with stringent requirements that significantly delay completion of projects. Also, as you know, federal dollars are in a declining path for Alaska. I attend 2 to 3 out-of-state transportation-related conferences per year. Last year, other states were pointing the finger to Alaska's federal funding match compared to higher populous states. It was clear there will be vocal opposition to continued high levels of federal funding for Alaska. But federal funding aside, there still remains a large gap between Alaska's transportation funding and its needs. Even if federal dollars remain at the current level, today's needs cannot be met and the gap will continue to grow. So the question then becomes, how will the legislature handle an even greater gap 5, 10, and 20 years from now? How will the legislature make Alaska's landscape economically competitive? Transportation investment has been studied and proven to be an economic driver and a competitive advantage for states. Times have changed, and as you know, funding sources are evolving. Alaska prides itself on being doers and being an owner state. We're at a crossroads that requires Alaska to be creative and proactive with funding initiatives. This bill represents proactive government. What I like about this bill also is that it provides for multimodal transportation needs. Studies, again, have shown that transportation systems can hinder or help local economies. And ATIF is about our economy. It's about jobs and productivity well beyond DOT. DOT only has about 3,400 employees compared to more than 71,000 transportation industry-related jobs throughout Alaska, which Aves just testified the Truckers Association makes up a large part of that. I trust the legislature will finalize this bill, providing for the details of the fund, control of the fund, and appropriations of the fund. But supporting this bill shows support well beyond all of your individual districts. Please support this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Colleen. Does anyone have questions? I don't see any. Thank you very much. Michael Miller.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Michael.
Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is Michael Miller. I've worked for a Green Construction Company, MB Contracting, Wilder Construction Company, that's now Granite Construction, in the Alaska construction industry for almost 37 years. I'm also the past president of the AGC and a member of the National AGC's Joint Western Association of State and Highway Transportation Officials Committee. I think this bill is a recognition of the future, that we can no longer say poor Alaska, we're small, poor, and remote, and we need extra help, and the recognition of that is as Colleen mentioned, and Aves and Mike also mentioned, is coming quickly. The Highway Trust Fund itself is afloat only because of recent infusions from previously borrowed money, and the safety loan expired last September and probably won't be replaced for at least another year. I think the proposed new legislation will not be friendly to rural states nor to donee states. I think passing this bill is a smart thing to do. It's forward-looking, it will create jobs, and it will benefit the state's economy many times over. I also suggest that you review the Alaska Municipal League's January 2010 Alaska Transportation Finance Study for some more ideas. And that's my testimony. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. We really appreciate it. And I don't see any questions, so thank you. Is there anyone else online? Whitney, I know we're going to get to you when we get to the amendment, so I'm going to have you kind of wait till then. Is there anyone else online that would like to testify? All right, and in the room we have Rebecca Logan. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Rebecca Logan, and I'm the president of Associated Builders and Contractors of Alaska. And I'm here just briefly to testify in support of House Bill number 329. Thank you very much for bringing it forward. Much of what I would say has already been said by Aves and by Mike Miller, but we support this legislation because it does give you the opportunity to depoliticize some of the decisions around transportation projects, and it creates a dedicated funding stream, which I think we all agree we need. And it also has a strong element for planning for the future and establishing criteria for picking projects. And so those are the things that we support in this legislation. And I thank you for bringing it forward. I would be remiss, though, since Aves requested a trucking member on the board.
I knew it.
Well, he started it. So I would just have to say that it would seem to me that when you're picking four public members, that it would be a good idea to have somebody from with a construction background who works on these large infrastructure projects that we have. Their insight is invaluable, and so they bring so much to the table. Some of the firms that work on the larger projects that we do, it would be good to have somebody from one of those firms as a member of the public group that's appointed to the board.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that gives us another category here. Taking notes here. All right. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Okay. Then I think I will close testimony, or public testimony anyway, and then we will have some tests or some committee discussion. And we do have in your packet that you had before you was an amendment, and I think that amendment is about in the middle of your of of the packet that you had on the table. And what I would like to do is try to add any amendments that we need to or that we've been talking about. And so if this would be amendment number 1-2 version D. And Becky mentioned it when she was discussing the changes in the bill and why we would need that change, and that would be the change is on page 4, line 13. And Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move amendment number 1.
Okay. Amendment number 1 has been moved.
Okay.
And there has been objection for discussion, so do you have any comments?
Yes.
Okay, Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Only because this is in 3714-860, use of the fund, I figured I'd object to the amendment because this would be an appropriate time to bring up my discomfort, I guess, with laying out in the bill how much gets spent in which area. And I understand what you're trying to get at, but to put it in statute and define exactly how much money can go anywhere in some cases may tie the hands of the legislature when we decide when to use this based on whatever happens in the future. Something could happen where maybe we need to use X amount of money coming off the fund. And I'm a little bit concerned about the restriction put on the bill. I'm not going to object to the bill moving out of committee because I know you put a lot of hard work into it, but it's something that I'll continue to talk about and monitor, but simply tying the hands of the appropriating body a little bit. So it's a little concern. And with that, I'd remove my objection to your amendment.
Okay, and I do want to make a comment on that because it does it says not more than 3%. So what that does is it doesn't say it has to be that much, but it says not more than that. So we're actually limiting how much can be spent, and DOMV they still have to go through the same as far as for the general budget. They still have to justify the amount of money that they're spending through our regular budget process. So I wanted to make sure that that was mentioned. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also share that in case of an emergency, but I'm wondering if the language, for example, on page 3, line 1, where it says 80% of the appropriations of the fund may be used, it doesn't say must be used. So I'm wondering if that doesn't give the department the flexibility in those cases that Representative Johansson has brought up, that it doesn't necessarily tie our hands. I think it's a very strong recommendation, and they can't use more than that, but I don't think they have to use that amount. So it may soften that a little bit. I understand where he's getting at is designating a certain amount, and if we need more in a certain area in any given year, I can see the concern, but I'm wondering if that doesn't soften it just a little bit. And I certainly am not going to speak for the representative from Ketchikan.
Representative Johansson.
I guess you could delve into the details of the way to soften it or not, but my concern remains that we're putting a number, whether it's an allowable amount or a cap, that we are in effect dictating how much we can appropriate to a certain sector of the transportation. Either way, I'm a little concerned about it, but again, I'm not going to stand in the way of the bill.
Okay, I appreciate that. And Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little bit concerned also And this is, I guess, whatever you do when you're either authorizing or appropriating. There's only such a big pie, and there's tugs and pulls. And you know, 3%, 1% may not seem like a lot. I mean, what's a million here, a million there, as Everett Dirksen would say. I am concerned, since this obviously comes to well over 100% maximum.
Okay, and I think that maybe now would be the time for me to have Whitney come online. If she's online, and
yes, Madam Chair, I'm here.
Okay, good. This is Whitney Brewster with DOMV or DMV, and we have before us, Whitney, the table that you had sent to us, and it's on the next to the last page of the packet that you have before you. And so this is what currently is being done and has been done. And Whitney, I think before I say something I shouldn't, I'll let you explain this.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Currently, almost all of the DMV's appropriations, including capital and operating, are funded via receipt-supported services. That means we live off of our receipts, with the extra being deposited into the general fund. We go through the normal budgetary process. The legislature authorizes what we can spend, but our funding source is receipt-supported services. So if you look at the spreadsheet that was provided in your packet, it says along the top, Division of Motor Vehicles, Revenues and Expenditures. I just kind of want to explain how we're funded. If you will look under FY 2011, you'll see that DMV's revenues are projected to be $64,356,300. Of that, roughly $12 million, the figure underneath that, the total revenue, goes to other entities. We collect those funds on behalf of other entities. For instance, the bulk of this amount is the motor vehicle registration tax that we collect on behalf of local cities. If you look under that figure, you'll see $37,415,900. And those are the fees that would be projected to go into the transportation fund. Those are the vehicle registration fees. The remaining revenue is everything else. Those are our driver's licenses, our ID cards, titles, specialty plates, and we are able to retain a certain portion of the motor vehicle registration tax. That's what's left over for us to operate on. Now, if you look under DMV expenditures for operating receipt-supported services, you'll see for FY11, it says $16,286,000. That is how much we would need roughly to be able to operate for FY11. In the current, as you can see, we would be short. We would not be able to continue operating with just the other fees being made available for receipts. So with that, we advocate for at least enough to be able to operate. If 3% of the appropriation is contemplated in the amendment that you're looking at is available for the DMV's operating costs, we'd likely be okay for FY 2012. However, as we look forward, we're likely going to have budgetary problems that may result in the DMV asking for supplemental funding. Two-thirds of the DMV's budget is personal services. So even if you, let's say, look at a 3% growth rate, if you look out to year 10, we're going to have significant challenges. We could potentially project a $9.2 million shortfall. So, I really very much appreciate Representative Wilson putting forward this bill. We support the bill, but we just need to have enough to be able to cover our costs. We do not want to go before the legislature asking for supplemental funding. And we appreciate Representative Wilson's efforts here, and I very much appreciate her consideration of the Division of Motor Vehicles. By no means do I want to be the hurdle to this bill moving from committee, and I can certainly take this up with finance, but I just did want to put on the record that we do have concerns regarding capping it at a particular percentage.
So we had talked about this earlier, and it's not something that you would stop the bill from moving forward. Is that what you're saying? But you feel that something needs to be looked at. And because the next bill is finance, the next committee is finance. That's why we kind of thought that might be a good place to look at it. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Whitney. You'd said that in 10 years out, you could have a $9 million deficit?
Yes, sir. Through the chair, yes, Representative Johnson.
And what kind of increase over the next 10 years are you looking at to reach that deficit?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, we're looking at a 3% increase.
Per year.
Now, again, we do try to keep the cost of the DMV down, and we will continue to do that, but again, with two-thirds of the DMV's budget being personal services, there are certain things that we do not have control over. And I do want to be able to, for those things that we don't have control over, I do want to be able to have an adequate budget to deal with unanticipated costs.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. And Whitney, were those numbers reflected in your 10-year plan that you presented to the Finance Committee that was required by law several years ago?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I would need to touch bases with Eric Swanson, who did testify before the legislature, and I can certainly follow up with you after this meeting. That was just used as an estimate. The 3% was just used as an estimate.
And I would be very curious to see what your 10-year budget outlook was when you presented it to the Finance Subcommittee. If you could get that to the chair for distribution, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I will certainly do that. I would like to put on the record, though, that the DMV did request a budget decrement this year, so we are very aware of the growth of government, we do pay very close attention to that.
Okay, thank you, and Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Brewster, on your spreadsheet, revenues and expenditures, FY11 on the left. You have revenues, I just want to make sure I understand this, it's $64 million. The $12 million is collected on behalf of other entities, so that's taken off the table. The $37 million is going into the fund, is that correct, Madam Chair? No?
Through the Chair, Representative Johansson, yes, the $37,415,900 is what would come. That's what would go into the transportation fund should HB 329 pass in its current form.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Chair, if I may continue, then you're left, basically you're telling me that you're left with 14.9 and your expenditures are 26, and that's what your problem is.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, actually, for our operating, it's 6.2, but if you do include our capital, which is also receipt-supported services, yes, we're looking at approximately a $26 million expenditure and a $14.9 million revenue.
Okay. May I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes, and I want you to know that Representative Johansson is the representative that is asking the questions, and also that according to your fiscal note, that it was $2.5 million per year that you had requested on for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So, Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, we take the 37 off the table and the 12 that you don't get anyway, and that's where we're looking at least in FY11, $12 million off of your total expenditures. So, currently, what happens to the 37 now in registration fees? Where does all that money go?
Through the chair, Representative Johansson, those funds go into the general fund.
Okay. So, if I may continue.
Follow up.
Thank you. So, currently, DMV is, you're a moneymaker for the state.
Through the chair, Representative Johansson, yes, we are.
Okay. I applaud you for your good job, but I don't like the concept. Anyway, okay, I just wanted to understand that. Thank you, Whitney. I appreciate it.
Okay, are there any other questions? All right. Having seen none, and the fact that the objection was removed, Amendment number one passes. And I do want to take a brief at ease at this point in time. I just kind of wanted to ask the committee what they wanted to do about the next couple amendments, if we have any. So, Representative Grunberg.
I think a threshold question is whether we want to set out maximum percentages in here, or we want to follow Representative Johansson's suggestion that we leave the categories listed but not have the maximum percentages listed. And I think all of us have particular issues that we'd like to see increased. Maybe somebody wants to decrease something. I know I have an interest in my district in getting more for public transportation. And we can either make some sausages here and come up with some figures, or just have the concepts. And I don't have a problem with doing what Representative Johansson has suggested and just have the categories listed. It certainly avoids us getting into the battle here, and it's going to be dealt with again down the line by all the other committees anyway.
Okay, Representative Johansson.
Thank you. On that particular issue, because it's, I think, more in the jurisdiction of the Finance Committee, I would be comfortable moving the bill along out of this committee and let Finance deal with that particular issue, relying on my conversations with individual Finance members to bring up my concerns, although on a different issue, which is not financial, I'd like to deal with in the committee. As far as the numbers, I'd like to get it out of committee and move it, not slow it down, and let the numbers people deal with the numbers issue where it should be taken care of.
And listening to that, I also wanted to know where the committee was as far as we've had public testimony today, and where I was coming from, because I kind of feel that's what we should do. But where I'm coming from is that from public testimony, we did have, we're kind of trying to do the policy part of this. And I want to make sure that what we get done, what we need to do as far as policy goes in this committee. And because of that, because we've had a Truckers Association wanting someone in that arena to be on the committee, and also from another area that was talked about, and I flip it to my the builders of roads to have, you know. So what I'm saying is that should we make any changes on page 5 that talks about our advisory council and what kind of people they should be in this committee? Because I would rather that be done here rather than in finance.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johansson.
That is specifically the issue that I wanted to deal with here.
Yes.
Because it's what this committee probably should be doing.
Yeah, and that's what I feel too. So, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, let's go back to the first issue, the percentages.
Well, I don't want to go back to that right now.
Okay.
I want to stay right where we're at right now and get this taken care of before we change directions. So what I'd like to do is stick with the policy part of this right now. And right now, we're talking about the makeup of the advisory council. And so I am open to having discussion on that at this time. And I am so sorry. Let the record show that Representative Tammy Wilson has joined us quite some time ago, and I just didn't get that back on the record. Tammy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issue on, there's four members of the public. They could come pretty much from whatever source. I think we could sit here probably for years, and everybody will always want to be on it, and you have to keep it manageable. I think you try this. If it doesn't work, it can always come back and be amended, but I think that's pretty general when it says four members of the public. It can come from any part of the, whether it's truckers or it's people who build roads or whoever the governor approves at that point. I would like to see it. I think this is a good makeup at this point and see if it works.
Okay. Representative Johansson.
I agree with Representative Wilson. I swear, if you give me two more days, I will find 20 other user groups that'll be want to be on this board, and then we're going to sit here and pick 4 out of 20, and I'd rather let the governor do that. He's got time.
So which Wilson were you talking about? Tammy Wilson?
I was agreeing with the representative from Fairbanks, okay. North Pole. Not sure how they label themselves up there. Up there in the cold country.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Ma'am. Representative Johnson?
I think that we're looking at a constitutional amendment here that we just can't come back and change. We've got to get it right the first time.
Well, this part isn't in.
Is in the Constitution. Okay.
This part.
Is the bill. Right. I have no dog in the fight. I mean, I think that having someone from the construction industry makes sense, and having someone as a user group. I'm concerned about the extensive experience and knowledge definition, and by adding people who drive the roads and build the roads, I was thinking that would be an opportunity to take care of that definition. But I certainly am not going to, throw myself with my sword over this. But I think that takes care of the issues that I was concerned about the experience. So I'm not really going to.
Okay. Do you have? I mean, are. I guess at this point, is anyone ready to do a conceptual amendment or?
I'll offer the amendment just so that we can vote on it. I actually have two amendments I'd like to offer, but one is at a later date. And I would say at least one member of the Truckers Association, one from a construction infrastructure, from a member of the construction industry that works on infrastructure sector. So. I'm not sure how to state that, but that would be my conceptual amendment.
Exactly.
So we have conceptual amendment number 2 before us. There has been an objection. Any more discussion? Tammy. I'm sorry, Representative Wilson.
That's okay. I'll answer to just about anything. I guess my question is that I agree with Representative Johansson. I think we start trying to figure out who needs to be on this committee. I guess I would trust the judgment of the governor to realize who needs to be on there, and I don't know when we get to appoint to micromanage. I mean, I don't have a problem with them being on the committee, but as things change and you know, and we might need more on roads, and then may change to ferries. Every year, that makeup is going to change, and that's why you have so many years each one can be representing. And what our needs right now may be may change. And I think right now it's general enough. I would just believe we should put the trust in the governor to appoint the kind of people we need.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
If I might, and to clarify, there's one member from the Trucking Association who uses the roads on a daily basis, but the construction of the infrastructure is, by my definition, could be someone that works in the ferry or the on the ferry system, or someone that works in the shipyard in Ketchikan. Those are all would qualify, as far as I'm concerned, as being someone who works in construction of infrastructure. So that would not exclude anyone, except it would put someone on there that was actively involved in building and putting nuts and bolts together, or laying asphalt, are doing survey work, that actually lives and breathes transportation on a daily basis. And I think just to extensive knowledge, I'd be a lot more comfortable if we could define that a little bit, but since we can't, I'm going to offer this amendment to kind of clean up my concerns about what that really means.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just looking at this. We have 12 members on this. They're going to be named to this committee. And it would seem to me that out of 12 people that have an interest in being on this committee, you're bound to have a variety of backgrounds. And so I agree with the representative from Ketchikan that I don't necessarily believe we need to specifically list a specific background that for the committee members, and we allow the governor to make the appointments.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, if I added a member of a collective bargaining unit, would that make the member from sorry. I'm just having fun now, Madam Chair. Sorry. Madam Chair, I'll withdraw my amendment. I think that I don't disagree with what I've been said. I just, my uncomfortableness with the extensive experience language, I think if we could drive that a little bit. That's my only real desire to add particular expertise, and so I'll withdraw my amendment on that.
Okay, conceptual amendment number 2 has been withdrawn.
Madam Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
Did we ever vote on this First Amendment?
It passed. Okay. Any other? Representative Johnson.
Are we ready for another amendment, if I could?
Yes, we are.
Madam Chair, I'm concerned about a member of the legislature or two members of the legislature being appointed to a government body or to an administrative body. I think I've been involved with a case with AMATS where that was a problem. I would not want to take them out, but I would like to follow Representative Grunberg's suggestion from an earlier committee today that we make those two members severable from the bill, so that if they are ruled to be unconstitutional, that we can't have that the whole bill doesn't go down. So I'd like to add a conceptual amendment that on page 29 and 30, on page 4, line 29 and 30, that those two members from the House and Senate be severable from the bill.
Maybe I can clarify that, Madam Chair.
Representative
Object, so he discuss.
Yes. So we have amendment number 3 before us. Representative, and there's been an objection, so Representative Grunberg, would you like to make some comments?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a problem at all with what you're saying. Let me ask you the question you asked me in the other committee. This is what's called a severability clause, and I realize that in Title I of the statute, there's a general severability clause that says generally if there's any provision of a bill that's unconstitutional, that unless the bill has to fall, the rest of it doesn't. That's a presumption of severability. If there's a serious constitutional question, sometimes, very rarely, like we had a situation this morning, and I can't think if I've ever done it before, you can put that in the bill itself. I don't have any problem in doing that here, but the question that Representative Johnson asked me this morning, normally that would apply anywhere through the bill rather than just to this one little provision. Do you wish it to apply just to this one little provision or anywhere in the bill?
Madam Chair, specifically I'm concerned about the history that we have of legislators being booted off of the administration's commissions and appointees as a separation of powers issue. I certainly am not opposed to having every part of the bill severable, but I want to be very clear that I don't want the appointment of the transportation chair of the House and Senate to see this go down in flames. So I want to make very sure, very clear, if nothing else, as part of the public record, that that's the intention, that we not allow the bill to go down based upon some lawsuit in the future. So.
The reason I'm saying that,
Representative Gruenberg,
through the chair, is because there could be other constitutional challenges to the bill on the issues of dedicated funds and stuff like this. I don't know. I don't know how successful they would be. But the normal provision, and it sounds like Representative Johnson wants just a clause at the end to be a separate section, that would be a severability clause. Is that correct?
That would serve my purpose. Okay.
And I think it should be the motion, Madam Chair, should be to add another section to the bill that would be a severability clause.
Okay, so do you want to amend the amendment, or do you want to
clarify it?
And since it's a conceptual amendment, I would accept that clarification, and wherever it goes in the bill is up to the legal minds, but I want to be clear that it is severable. I don't want to see what I think is a good idea go down over a technicality. So conceptually at the end
that would normally be another section, okay. And there's boilerplate language for that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I recall correctly, we talked about the possibility of making the chairs of the House and Senate Transportation Committees non-voting members. Would that solve the problem, or do we know?
Madam Chair, I was involved in a case with AMATS where I was a non-voting member, and the court ruled that I was not eligible to be on that board and was basically prohibited by the courts from attending, but having a position on that. And it was a member from the House, member from the Senate, very similar to this, wasn't designated chairman, but I was strictly a
ex officio
member and was prohibited from voting and was still told no. It really doesn't matter in terms of the law.
Okay, and so do we still have, so the conceptual amendment before us then is to, which is conceptual amendment number 3, is to add a new section at the end of the bill on page 10.
Madam Chair, I think the placement of the section is up to the top.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So to make sure that if one part of the bill doesn't fly, that it doesn't make the whole bill in effect.
Yeah, the technical term is a severability clause.
Okay. Are there any more discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a comment.
Representative Johansson.
I'll support the amendment because I believe it's redundant. I mean, we have a general severability clause, so I don't think it really means anything. So I'll remove my objection to the amendment.
Okay. Objection has been removed, so conceptual amendment number 3 has passed. And what are the wishes of the committee? I would like to move the bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
I would move that CS for House Bill number 329, Transportation, as amended, be advanced to the next committee with individual recommendation and attached fiscal notes.
And hearing no objections, so moved. Yay!
And that is absolutely for the record, right? The yay.
I did want to make some comments before we adjourn, because I really feel good about what this committee has done. You know, we've actually set up a new funding mechanism for statewide transportation. That's pretty exciting, because we have needs and there's needs and funding gaps all across the state, and for economic development to happen and for resource development to happen, we need more infrastructure. And so it's pretty exciting to be able to do this. And I think this committee has been proactive. We're doing something that's never been done before. However, I want to make sure that we realize that the founders of our Constitution, of the Alaska Constitution, grandfathered into place two dedicated funds, and one of those was transportation. So we're not doing something that is contrary to what the drafters of our Constitution have, what their thoughts for the future was. So I want to make that very clear, and so that we're not doing something that was not in the intention of the drafters of the state constitution. So I think that's very important for us to move forward realizing that. So we are a proactive committee on transportation, and as we move forward with this could be a big step in our state being able to move forward economically in a way that has never been in place before, at least since the other fund was done away with. So because transportation has proven to be an economic driver in Alaska and in other states, we definitely need something like this. And so I'm very, very proud of the committee and the work that we've done. And so I just want to thank all of you. You all have added to this and taken part in it, and I really thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johansson.
Two things.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I thought this was a great process. I thought you did a really good job, and Becky did a great job. She's back there somewhere. But it's really nice to have a committee work where we can have input on the bill, and you're open to suggestions. That was really nice. Second part about the Constitution, the best thing our constitutional drafters did was allow us to change the Constitution, because with all due respect to the constitutional conventioneers, there weren't even a computer the size of the one back there would be in a warehouse in 1955. Times change, so with all due respect to those folks, I'm not really too worried about what they were thinking in 55. They did a good job, but times changed, so.
Okay. Thank you all, and this committee is adjourned.